John Roberts.
My mother had nothing in common with my father. They were Beauty and the Beast. She looked like Marilyn Monroe. My dad was 20 years older. He was stocky, a balding guy. People who saw him on the street walked in the other direction. He barely spoke English. I don't think he had any formal education. He could write numbers and names on a piece of paper, and that was about it. When I was little, I asked my mother what my dad did, and she got upset. She said, "I don't know. Don't ask me again." In my house, no one talked about the mafia. I had to put it all together myself. In school, I'd hear kids say, "His dad's one of those people." The teachers treated me differently. Nobody questioned me for being absent. Nobody yelled at me when I acted up. I would find out my father was a made man. In movies, they show being made as a big holy ritual. That's the movies. When they made somebody in the mafia, it was because a guy was bringing them a lot of money. They said a made man couldn't be killed. Not true. If they wanted to kill a made man, they could find a way. Being made mostly built ego in a guy so he'd be a better earner. The mafia had a game just like any other organization. Burger King has its employee of the month. The mafia had made men. My dad's main job was controlling black bars in New Jersey. Out of the bars, he loaned money and ran the numbers. The numbers game was started in Harlem way back in the early times when the blacks were starving up there and needed a way to make money. Then it spread everywhere. Here's how it worked. The New York Daily Mirror printed a circulation number that changed every day. To play the numbers, a person would guess tomorrow's circulation number. He'd write his guess on a scrap of paper with his initials and his bet, $1 or $5. Every bar had a cigar box where they'd put the bets. My dad drove around to the bars every day, paid the winners, and collected the next day's bets from the cigar boxes. When I was about 5 or 6, my dad started taking me around with him instead of driving me to school. My dad had a driver, Mr. Tut, who was always with him. Mr. Tut was a black guy who'd boxed in the ring but never made it big because whenever he started to lose, he'd revert to street fighting. He was a giant with huge fists, and I liked him because, unlike my father, he'd smile and seemed like a happy guy. To my father, black people were moolies. That's an offensive slur for black people in Italian-American slang. That's not to say my dad was prejudiced. He didn't like anybody. He didn't even like himself, probably. To have a black driver served a purpose. It was a lot easier walking into a black bar with a black guy than with a white guy, because then the blacks didn't get attitude. It helped that Mr. Tut was a tough man. I don't want to dishonor my father, and I don't judge him, but I don't have fond memories of him. He wasn't a happy-go-lucky guy. He was not nice. My dad always had a big Mercury or Cadillac. He would ride up front with Mr. Tut and put me in the back. Some mornings, they'd drive me to school. Other mornings, my dad would take me with him to work. Since my dad didn't talk, I never knew where I was going until I looked out the window. There was a day in about 1955 when we left early in the morning. We headed toward the bars in New Jersey. I was dozing in the back and felt the car stop. I looked up and saw my dad and Mr. Tut staring ahead. We were in a half-residential, half-farm area of Jersey. The road led to a one-lane bridge. A car was stopped on the bridge facing ours, blocking the way. Mr. Tut started to open his door, and my dad said, "I'll take care of this." My dad got out and walked up to the car on the bridge. He always carried a gun. I saw him take it out from his waistband and say something to the man in the car. Then he pushed his gun into the window and shot the man. Boom, boom, boom. Mr. Tut said nothing. We watched as my dad opened the door to the guy's car, pushed the man he'd shot sideways, and got in. He backed the car off the bridge. We drove across it, and my father climbed back in our car. My father turned to me and asked, "What just happened? Did you see anything?" I said, "No, I didn't see anything." I was lucky, I guess, because I made the right response. My father studied my face the way you'd look at a map. I was studying him, too, like he was the map of my future. I was scared, but I felt close to him like I hadn't ever before. He'd done something that I'd have to keep a secret from everyone. I felt like he was treating me like a man. I believe the shooting changed me. It made my reactions different from a normal person's. I learned not to get emotional. I learned to observe without reacting or crying. My father trained me in that incident to be like a soldier, not to let what I saw get to me, to move on. I was a little kid. I didn't reason this out. It seeped into me as instinct.